listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Okay. AK. AK.
Oh, I gotta give her privileges. Hold on.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, there you go. There, now I've got voice.
Okay, I gotta tell you, if I knew that you were in TeamSpeak, I would have been here hours ago. Oh my God, lady. Love your podcast.
Okay. I'll be right back, just 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here I am.
Mm.
So, what?
Sipping coffee.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
podcast. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Kay.
You had a hand?
Yeah. So, Kay, I got to tell you, I did a live stream with Ab yesterday, and I was telling him how much I loved your podcast. Love it.
My phone is breaking in and out.
Yeah, you too. I'm getting like every third word for some reason. Okay, you there?
Oh, my phone is breaking in and out, so I'm trying different mess here to get reception.
Okay. Yeah, this is why.
You can hear me now, right?
Yep, I can hear you. Okay. I always go to Skype for this reason. Even though Skype is a Microsoft product, I try and avoid Microsoft whenever I can. However, it works well. Yeah.
All right. So, at the risk of sounding vain, what was your favorite KM radio so far?
Well, I enjoy them all. Whenever Dell posts them on Mammies, I instantly grab them and listen to them. But the one I was talking about yesterday, which is probably the most fresh in my mind, is your interview with Dave. Was it Dave Weiss? I don't remember if it's Dave Weiss or Dave Wise.
Yeah, Weiss, W-E-I-S-S.
Yeah, yeah. Loved it. And there's a reason that I loved it. And the reason that I loved it was because you brought on Hoi Polloi. And I got to tell you that Hoi Polloi and you changed my thinking. You know, it changed my thinking. I did this audio interview with Ab yesterday, and if you listen to it, I go into this explanation of how, like, my whole life I've been, I've been kind of gullible, you know, like I'm a reasonably honest guy, so I just assume that everybody is honest, and I'm not saying that Dave Weiss is not, you know, I don't know Dave Weiss. But it was the way that Hoi Polloi was asking him questions, questioning him about everything that he thought he knew. And what that did for me was it made me question everything that I thought I knew, because I was there on 9/11. I was, if you listen to the audio, I go over this, that I was on 9/11. I was driving a tractor trailer on the New Jersey Turnpike. And I was in full view of Manhattan. And I actually saw, you know, smoke coming from the towers. And so there were parts when you were interviewing Dave Weiss, I started scrambling for like your email or how to get into your chat or I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know where you were. But I wanted to call in because some of what Dave was talking about, I could confirm. And I also wanted to tell you that I thought it was a great interview.
Well, what are the confirmed parts?
Again, like if you go back to that, if you go to the front page of Fakeologist, I think I'm like the second one down. I went through all this yesterday. It was, you know, it was a beautiful sunny day, you know. I'm a big fan of Simon Shack's. Excuse me. I'm a big fan of Simon Shack's September Clues. September Clues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And on my podcast, I stopped podcasting about 2 years ago, but 2 years ago I was promoting his video big time because I loved it so much. Simon had pointed out something in those videos that I had never noticed before. I, you know, just like every other American, I watched those videos over and over again. And I had never noticed that in all of the videos that the sky is gray, right? And that is unreal because on that day, the skies over Manhattan were crystal clear blue, right? And Simon points out, and also Dave pointed out that it was totally clear. It was a beautiful day. You know, it was a perfect temperature. It was bright and sunny. There was no clouds in the sky, even though there was a hurricane supposedly offshore. And, you know, it was that part of the conversation I could confirm. You know, I didn't think that Dave Weiss was lying. And I just wanted to call in and say, yeah, I think Dave is telling the truth because the things that he was saying were true. I you know, but it was just the way that Hoy was asking him very specific details about the situation. I thought that was very important for, you know, everyone to, you know, think about their story, you know, especially in the aftermath of something bizarre like that, because you wind up, you're so shocked when it happens, you know, and then you start to, you start to fill in little parts of the story that you can't really remember with your own ideas, you know, and I also brought up in my talk with Ab that, you know, all of us want to be liked and all of us want to be, you know, we want to be part of it. We want to add something interesting to the conversation. So sometimes we fudge, you know.
Or we get paid to fudge either way, right? We fudge just because we want to, or we get paid to fudge.
Yeah. Do you think that Dave Weiss would, do you think he's important enough to get paid to fudge?
Well, by the connections, it feels like it. I have no evidence to point to that, though, but from the connections of who owns his radio, the station they started, and where he goes back, it comes from mainstream media and those people in charge of that. So it feels like it, but I have nothing to confirm that.
I'm not familiar with Dave Rice. What is he? What radio program is he on? What is he doing?
Well, Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. I made a post about it, so all that information's in the post. I think like 2 or 3 KHAM radios ago.
Can you give me the gist of it? Like what's your suspicion?
Well, that's it. I just said it. That's it.
There's something wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong with Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole.
No, not with that. That podcast is, you know, it's your typical Jim Fetzer's, you know, Alex Jones kind of thing.
Mm. You have a problem with Jim Fetzer?
Well, I guess we got to back away from, like, the Judy Wood nonsense. There's no proof to that. She uses photographic evidence as her basis.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Fetzer uses photographic evidence. So, you know, if we're going to get to the truth here, you just got to throw away all photographic evidence.
That's an interesting thought. You know, Kay, I want to tell you that one of the reasons that I you know, love your show so much is because of that stance that you're taking, you know, that calm, rational, breaking down of the information. And lady, I love that that opening that you do. You know, if you believe the mainstream media, our world is full of terrorists and pandemics. We know that it's all fake, you know, and, you know, reality is actually kind of cool. And I got to tell you that I've never listened to anyone say something quite that way before. And it's so soothing to hear somebody say that, you know, it's great.
Tell me about your podcast.
Well, it was about 2 years ago, and I'm a big, again, like, you know, I went on and on with this in my audio chat with Ab yesterday, and unfortunately, I don't have time to. I'm in South Korea, and it's about 7:15 in the morning, And I got to hop in the shower soon, so I don't have time to go through the whole thing again. But I'll give you the quick version. Is that, you know, I mean, I started down the rabbit hole. It's got to be like 20 to 25 years ago, you know. I had very good university professors that woke me up. And this is before the internet. I was a voracious reader. My eyes are shot from all these books I read. I left the United States for ethical reasons about 10 years ago, and I just never went back. When I got to Korea, I found Alex Jones, I found Jeff Renson. I listened to them, you know, for 2 to 3 years, and then finally I stumbled upon Mammies, and thank God for Mammies. You know, Mammies is a serious upgrade to Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz. They post all the best podcasts there, and it was Scorpio. One of my favorite podcasters is Scorpio, and he did a podcast called Scorpio's Conspiracy Hour. And it was, cool. You know, yeah. Oh, it was, he's just a regular guy, you know, and that's what I loved about it. You know, he was just a regular guy who, you know, he has a funny radio voice, and I don't think that this is something that even he realizes. He's got a funny, quirky, voice and way of spinning a tale that is, humorous. And, and I absolutely became addicted to his podcast, and I was listening to it from Mammies. I would get it from Mammies. And in one of his podcasts, he was goading us to make our own podcast. He basically just said, do something. Just don't sit there listening to me or listening to someone else. Do something, right? And he said in his podcast, he says, look, do a podcast. If your podcast sucks, just don't do it again. And so I couldn't refute that logic, that reason. And so I just downloaded, a program, and I just started talking about things that I thought I, you know, would contribute, or things that I thought I knew. I got about 10 or 12 podcasts into it, and you can find them on Kiwi6, or you can go to Mammies and just type in O'Hallahan's observations. And it's, you know, like 1 through 10 or 1 through 12 or something. I stopped like at 12. Mm-hmm. And that's basically about it. I thought I ran out of topics that were, I really knew a lot about, and I just didn't want to go on and on with things that I, you know, so many people do it better than I do. You know, I'm a big fan of podcasts. I love Deanna Spingola. I love Charles Giuliani. I love Scorpio. I love your program. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love, I love Abs, Fakeologist. Whenever Fakeologist comes up, I always grab it. A couple other podcasts that I really enjoy. And I put myself up against your standards, and I thought my podcasts were good. I mean, people are still listening to them today. Every week I get a summary of people that listen to my podcasts, and you know, at the height of it, I guess I was had about 2,000 people listening to it, telling me it was pretty good.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And but I just sort of ran out of things that I thought were podcast worthy, and in the last couple of ones I start talking about nutrition, and you know, it's like I just ran out of things to talk about, and I also hit a wall. Oh, go ahead, Kay.
So you hit a wall.
Yeah, at least I thought I did. I didn't want my podcast to be about, you know, just blather, you know. If I had something to say, I wanted to say it. I just didn't want to, you know, oh, it's Wednesday, I gotta come up with a topic for a podcast, you know. And I don't seem to do that really well. I, you know, there are guys that, like Charles Giuliani, 5 days a week puts out 2 hours of just gold, and I don't know how he does it. I, you know, I don't know how he does it. It's brilliant. And he does it 5 days a week, and he does it free, and it's great stuff, and it's golden. And I not only do I download it, but I save it. I have saved Charles Giuliani for years. I've got his archives. And he's my hero. You know, I don't think I can do it better than he does it. So I stopped. I also hit a wall, and this is something that I explain about, I talk about in my audio chat with Ab, is that Dave Grissom is the one that does Mammies, and grissom.blogspot.com. And he posted the Holographic Universe, and I was blown away by the Holographic Universe. I started reading and watching and emailing the author and, you know,
and what do you think now about Holographic Universe?
I don't know. I'm not my degree's in the humanities. I don't have a degree in science. You know, maybe we got to get Jaron from Jaronism to buy an electric shooting, you know, proton gun.
You know, if it exists,
we have to crowdfund them. Yeah. And well, that was, you know, that's one of the reasons that I love your podcast, is because I have been freaked out for about 2 years with, Holographic Universe. And that is one of the, things that they, you know, one of the big things that they talk about is that they take this electron gun where they can isolate a single electron and they can shoot it at a double slit, and at the other side of the slit they have a barrier that records what happens to the electrons that they've shot through this double slit, right? And when they're not watching it, I'm not doing it justice. You have to see this video for yourself.
No, but, yeah, I'm aware of the experiment. It's an old science experiment.
Yeah, that's
sort of started the whole quantum idea about packets and is light a wave? Is it a, you know, beam or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. And,
but here's the problem I have with that experiment.
Go ahead.
The science is supposed to be repeatable. I can't do that experiment. I don't have a damn proton gun if they even exist.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of feeling like it's malarkey myself.
And, you know, I'm sympathetic to that. I mean, you know, I don't know what to think, you know, I don't know what to think. And I'm on board with you where we see all this NASA fakery. And, you know, I mean, some guy in Mammy's just posted that all of the Space Shuttle Challenger crew are still alive. You know, so that back in 1986, when that Challenger exploded, and we all felt sorry for Christy McAuliffe, who was just a passenger, and she was just a teacher in an elementary school or some BS, right? And now we see pictures of her still alive. We see pictures of all.
Right. It sure does look like them. I saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not proof or anything, but, you know, it's good for speculation. Could they still all be alive and not have ever died?
Yeah. And my point is that we are inundated with this BS, you know, from all of these sources that we, you know, all these science sources, and I'm making the air quotes, you know, with the word science. And you go back to the Holographic Universe and you go, well, what is an electron gun? You know, can I buy one? You know, can I go to Amazon and buy an electron gun? You know, This guy, and I don't remember the author of the Holographic Universe. I mean, he is talking to physicist after physicist who are saying the same things, is that reality as you and I know it is happening in our head, right? And, you know, the other experiment where they ask a guy a question, right? And, oh, no, they use a probe. Where they stick a probe in, you know, in the guy's finger, and I don't know, they somehow, I don't remember the specifics of it obviously, but they prove somehow that thoughts are not coming from our mind, they're coming from the field, right? Do you remember that part of the video?
Oh, I haven't seen the video, but I'm aware of the light particle through the hole and splitting thing. And when you observe it, it's one way. And when you don't observe it, it's another way. Yeah.
And so I, 2 years ago, this really stopped me. You know, right around the same time I was beginning to notice flat earth, right? And there's something else that I talk about in the audio chat with Ab is that I was on, you know, there's a website out there called Wild Heretic that I really enjoyed, and they were into concave earth. And, you know, this was 2 years ago. Now flat earth has exploded, like everyone's talking about flat earth, right? But 2 years ago, I was in Skype chat with John Friend and Zap Hopper, and you know, Zap Hopper just basically just laughed me right off of Skype when I said flat earth, you know. But I found that they're, you know, what these people on the Wild Heretic were talking about was difficult to refute. The thing is not that the earth is flat. The thing is that you cannot prove that it's a ball, right? And
I think you can quite easily, actually.
Can please enlighten me?
Well, I mean, all the planets we look at are balls.
Are they?
Why would they're circles?
They're circles.
Are we looking at everything that's facing us? If you're going to believe in flat Earth, then you have to believe there's an alien race that made this flat and that put a cover on it and then decorated that cover with planets. So I think it's more plausible that we're a globe than that an alien made this flat earth and we're under a, you know, a cheese dish, basically.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. You know, that's where I'm stopped. I mean, if you have proof for a spherical earth, you know, I truly wish you'd share it with me because I can't find it.
Right. It's not dead on proof, but it's of the evidence that we have, the evidence points to a globe.
And what evidence is that?
Our North Star and Polaris is our South Star. So the two, as I'm standing, say, at the equator, I look to my right, and we are rotating either, but it's opposite. If I look to my right, maybe it's clockwise. When I look to my left, I see the North Star going counterclockwise.
Yeah.
So you can't have two suns moving in opposite directions in a plane or in a concave. So the only plausible explanation is a globe. End of story. So really, all the flat earth stuff to me is a big hoax. It's a big waste of time. It's COINTELPRO. It's like the dumbest crap I ever heard. And people who are really bad at science fall for it. Those are the ones that fall for it.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's really bad at science. My brother is the science guy. Yeah, I'm one of those guys that's really bad at science. They have refuted the that North Star, South Star stuff. I'm not an astronomy major. I had a major in psychology.
You don't have to be a major. You just look at it. Go to the north. Go to North America. Watch how the stars rotate in the sky. They go one direction. Go to South America. Look how those stars rotate. They go in another direction. There's only one shape that explains that. Only one. And it's a sphere. No other shape. You know, or it's a three-dimensional sphere-like object that rotates on an axis. There's no other, you know, unless the flat Earth is rotating on an axis like, you know, some sort of fan or, you know, some weird something like that. But other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Eric Dubay or Mark Sargent or one of those guys actually addressed that particular issue. And
I heard the explanation, and it's absolutely malarkey. It's a play on words.
Like it?
Nope, it's a bunch of scientific words trying to make himself sound smart. So right now, I mean, honestly, my opinion is if anyone is promoting flat earth, A, they don't know enough about science, so you don't need to listen to them, or B, they're doing it on purpose to deceive people. So either way, it's a no-win situation for me.
Yeah. I take it all in. I've gotten so far down the rabbit hole that I am at the point where I just don't know anymore. You know, I just don't know.
See, that's the problem with people like Red Ice Radio. They float.
You don't like Red Ice?
I used to like them, right? But at a point, I think a person needs to choose you know, what's the most if you're going to say, here's an alternate reality, right? And mm-hmm. it could be this or this or this or this. Well, I think we should all at least pay homage to the truth. What is the most truthful of these? And I don't know, right? Flat Earth got brought up at fakeologist.com because it brought up some really good questions. Mm-hmm. You know, what about this? What about that? What about this? But once we answer those questions and they become obvious, I think all people should head in a certain direction to try and find the truth. Because if you're going away from the truth, then you're just adding more garbage out there to the conversation.
I'm a casual observer, just like I guess most people in this world, I'm a casual observer. And to the casual observation, this world is not round, right? First of all, we're spinning. I don't notice any spin, right? Second, water does not, you know, if you blow up a balloon and you pour water on it, it pours off. Right.
Let's address your spinning one, right?
Mm.
I think at this point, all we could say is that either we are spinning or the stars are spinning.
Right.
That's it. Either option, right?
Right.
So, and that's where the flat earth gets some of its impetus, because that could be the option. We could just be sitting here and the stars could be going around us.
Correct.
You know, that could happen. Yeah. There's nothing out there that proves otherwise, by the way. And we've looked, you know, I've looked. And, you know, if we could get back to the flat earth thing, mm-hmm. I've been listening to September Clues and, you know, Simon Jack for a while and reading the website. And for me, I think he's one of the smartest men I've known, so learned. And if he's going to come out and say, we have all this evidence that we're probably not a flat earth and then we're a globe, you know, I'm going to head in that direction then, because that also, I mean, yeah, I'm appealing to authority, yes. Because I want people to go to September Clues and read how they're debunking the flat earth business. And so that's why I'm saying that.
Okay.
They've got the stuff there. Go read it. It's amazing.
What site is this, Kay?
Septemberclues.info.
I'm there. When I get to work and I get some time, septemberclues.info, I'm there.
And then type in flat earth. And then you'll see what everyone has to say about it. It's a collection of many good points from many good authors, including Hoyt Beloy, and I wish I could remember the others. I've been reading up. So it's a good resource for anyone to go there and see what people have to say about it.
Yeah. I come from this position that we're either going to rely on our casual observation. I mean, okay, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm also not the stupidest, and I'm also aware of something else, that everything that comes out of NASA is complete bullshit, right? And so I'm either going to rely on my casual observation, God-given observation, if you will, or I'm going to rely on known liars, right? That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And that's why I am so attracted to the idea of flat Earth. But my brother is the science guy. You know, I mean, if there is some kind of computation, my brother can do it. I ran screaming out of pre-calculus with a C at the university, and I never went back to anything mathematical again. I just don't have a head for that stuff. I don't know. Again,
you know,
like
it, even a historian, if you were a historian, you went way back. There's images of our solar system as balls and the earth as a ball. I mean, early Mayans, they have hieroglyphs or whatever you call them carved into stone where the earth is depicted as a sphere. So even for the simple observer, ancient history is full of early man just assuming the earth is a globe. That was mm-hmm. their obvious, simple observation. So if they got it figured out, you know, I mean, that's what they thought. I think it's a pretty good indication. That's, you know, if you see the moon and you see the earth is in the way of the sun and the moon. So you see, you know, part of the eclipse on you kind of figure that out. Oh, the earth is back there. The moon's up here. We're making a globe. We're making a circle shadow. And as the moon moves around, we're still making a circle shadow. We must be a globe. I mean, it's pretty simple, I think, observation to make.
Well, I mean, Kay, there's a distinction between a circle and a globe. No.
Right, but as the moon is going around us, and it's still a circle, so when the moon's on the left hand of the sky, and the Earth is interfering with the sun, it's a circle, and on the right, it's still a circle. So as it's moving, it's still a circle. We must be three-dimensional circle.
Yeah. Now you realize this as well as I do that the moon does not spin.
Yeah, that is weird, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I look out at the horizon. I'm on a 17th floor apartment looking out at the horizon. It looks fucking flat. The moon doesn't spin.
Yeah.
It looks flat. You know, the sun and the moon are the same exact size in an eclipse. How does that happen?
Right. It's kind of perfect, isn't it?
I don't know. I'm way down the bottom of this rabbit hole all by myself going, I don't know where to go next, So, but, yeah, I think that's, one of the reasons that I'm attracted to your podcast is because you talk sense. You know, whether your sense is right or not, or wrong, or 100% right, or 90% right, I don't know. But at least it's sense. if someone walks up to me and says the Earth is flat, it's so challenging, that it's overwhelming. Yeah. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm just saying that I...
That's
I'll
say it for you. You don't have to say it. I'll say it.
That's funny. Yeah, I have been proven wrong so many times that I don't say that anymore. When someone comes up to me with something wacky, I just go, I could be missing some information here. The last time that happened, and I talked about this in the audio with Ab too, was... I think it was like a couple of years ago, one of the guys from Mammy's told me that nukes were a fake. And Kay, I have been, listening and reading and watching and opinion taking for years. And when he said to me nukes were fake, my first thought was, you're crazy, dude. And here we are. You go to Miles Mathis and he shows you that these pictures of these, Bikini Island atomic tests are fake, right? What happened in Hiroshima and Nagasaki could have easily been done with firebombs, right?
I was talking with the old guy in the neighborhood, and he was in he was in Pearl Harbor. And his job was to set up dynamite for the nuclear bomb test.
Good grief.
So what they did is they made a pile, of dynamite that they thought would equal. And they said they had to do that for gauging purposes, right? So when you blew that up.
Yeah.
But there was an equal amount of dynamite there anyway, in addition to the atomic bomb. And then another guy my brother talked to that lives in the neighborhood, the old retired World War II guys. He said he was stationed on an island off Hawaii. It was the radar island.
Yeah.
And they saw the planes. He said they saw the planes coming in, and they messaged it forward, and they were told to stand down and make no further messages.
Unbelievable.
Isn't it? Isn't that crazy?
There are so many trails to go down. But my all-over question, Kay, and you were one of the few people that I would ask this to, is why lie? Why do these things? I mean, it is such a waste of resources. It's such a waste of what is the all over reason for this? Why lie? Are these elites that are running this planet just fucking bored or something? Why do they make up these wild fantasies about what our reality really is? Why do they tell us these bullshit stories,
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is where, I slip into the fantastic. We're having a spiritual experience here, and it's not necessarily good. You know, I don't know. Like, I just, you know, I want to look up to the heavens and just say, why?
Right. But you know what? We can't answer that, because once we do, all the information we find goes to support our own why.
Yeah.
So the worst thing you can do is come up with a conclusion what this is for, because then you stop looking at all the other evidence out there. And all you do then is you just keep confirming your bias over and over and over. And I see like these white racist websites, that's what they do. They're major confirmation bias, and they won't look at anything except their own viewpoint, even if there is evidence.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the human nature, but back to the why for just a second. I mean, couldn't it just be something simple? Crowd control and then people making money. Couldn't that just be it? Scare them a little, crowd control. And then make a little money. They'll at least stay in charge because now they have all the funds and they made sure. I think it's just simple like that.
I don't know. I hope you're right.
All my evidence, that's all it points to. It doesn't point to anything else. So if you show me evidence, I'll take it. Flat Earth people, if you got evidence and it's real, throw it my way.
Yeah. I just don't know. I mean, Kay, you and I could sit down for coffee, and go on for hours and hours and hours about these different things that I've read and studied and listened to and watched one after the other. These are esoteric topics that the average person will never get their head around. You know, this is something that I talked about yesterday, is everybody has a paradigm, you know, and when we go, about 5% outside of someone's paradigm, cognitive dissonance kicks in. They cannot even listen to the basics that you and I are talking about, like the basics of, I was talking about this yesterday, of the false flag of the Vietnam War that Admiral Morrison just opened up on the Vietnamese people. There were no Vietnamese torpedo boats, right? And that is admitted. That is admitted, right? But the average guy will smirk at that as a conspiracy theorist and as conspiracy theory. And that is admitted. Right? Now, if the average guy can't get his head around that, what chance do we have?
Well, you got to back up first, though.
Yeah.
They might be able to believe that, but there's a problem in the way, is that they trust and believe the media and the government.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem. So, that's the basics. That's why they believe it, because the media and the government are putting that forth. But that's the shell we got to crack.
Yeah. You and I are both fans of Simon Schack's work. And when I first started telling my friends that 9/11 was actually pulled off by our own government, that those buildings were blown up from the inside, I got called some pretty heinous names, and probably the nicest one was unpatriotic, right? The worst one was probably asshole. but go from that to the idea that there were no planes, you know, and Simon is showing you the proof. He's showing you the lines on the buildings, right? He's showing you how the mistakes in the video of the nose of the plane sticking out the other end of the building, which is a physical impossibility, right? Within the past year, there was another guy who was a friend of Simon Schack, where he can show you on the video, if you slow it down, that the wing of the plane disappears behind one of the buildings that are in the background, right?
What?
It's faked, right? It's faked. And hey, Nuna. Oh, Nuna, I'm sorry. My wife just woke up, and I make her coffee every morning, and I'm on. I want to talk to you for at least 10 more minutes. but I mean, you show this evidence, or you try and goad your friend who is, after 10 years, has accepted that maybe the United States blew up those Twin Towers, maybe, right? And then you try and take him to the next level, where there were no planes. Even Alex Jones doesn't buy that. right? One of the most off-the-wall guys on the internet, ranting and raving and screaming about one conspiracy theory after the other, will not buy that there were no planes on 9/11. Mm-hmm. When it's evident, after watching Simon Schacht's work, it's evident.
Right.
I sit here in South Korea, you know, and the old Beatles song, you know, the man on the hill with his eyes spinning around. And I sit in my chair in South Korea thinking that I escaped, and I really haven't. Because we're on a flat plane with a dome on top of it, and I'm trapped like a fucking rat. Right? And my fellow human beings, they can't. There's no way that they can understand. They can't understand the basics of what you and I are talking about. Their paradigm, cognitive dissonance, will not allow them to understand the basics, right? How are they ever going to get their head around something like holographic universe, right? Yeah. I talk about a holographic universe to Ab, who is knee deep in conspiracy theory, and he starts playing the cuckoo sound effect. You know, I am the man on the hill with my eyes spinning around. You know, I just sit here and I, you know.
Have you looked at Electric Universe?
Yeah, I have. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's got pretty good proof. I mean, for a lot more scientific or logical proof, I think, than anything else out there.
Very interesting. I watched those videos and I read the website and I really enjoyed Electric Universe. You know how he goes through history and he talks about how the plasma events in the sky, shaped mythology. Very interesting. Yeah. Great stuff to watch. Again, you're never going to get someone like my brother to watch something like that. I sympathize. You know, I mean, when I was living in the United States, I was working 10 hours a day. 6 days a week, and on the last day of the week, I was out of energy. You know, all I wanted to do was drink a beer, and watch a movie, maybe find a girlfriend. You know, and that's what my brother's going through now. You know, he's busy. You know, I mean, in Korea now, I'm a teacher in Korea, so I only teach for 6 hours a day, and then I come home, and you know, I've got one student at home that comes to the house for tutoring, and other than that, I'm free. You know, and so cool. I'm reading, I'm watching, you know, I'm trying to get my head around things, but I have the time. You know, I have the time to do it. Most people don't. Most people
don't.
But you know
what? Nobody wants their paradigm smashed. Here, everything you thought. I mean, still to this day, you get like shockwaves from the past, or like think of a moment that was involved with what your old belief system was, and realize that, oh God, that's all shattered now.
Yeah.
Oh, Kay, shattered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It's even worse than that. Not only do they not want their paradigm shifted, but they're invested in their ideas. They're invested in it. Right. It was Catherine Austin Fitz in one of her lectures. She said, look, if I've, you know, this is her words, not mine. I have proof to you that the money market funds in Wall Street, a lot of it is propped up by drug money. And the drug money is the money that, you know, is destroying our country. It's destroying our youth. And I've got a big red button here. Right. And all you got to do is stand up and push this big red button, and all of that illegal drug money that's propping up your 401k and your money market fund and your, you know, whatever, your investment, and it'll stop. But your 401k is gone. Who's going to be the first one to stand up and push that button? And, you know, no one is going to get up and push that goddamn button. We are totally financially, psychologically, spiritually wrapped up in a system that's destroying us, and we can't stop it. We don't want to stop it.
I don't think it's just, we can choose not to let it destroy us though. And that's kind of my hopes here, like at fakeologist.com, that if a lot of people can uninvest emotionally, then they can make smarter decisions. and they can truly look after their self without being manipulated. They can make the correct decision based on the correct information. And I think that's why these websites who give all this crap, fake crap out there, I don't recommend those, because they're getting in the way of learning how to take care of yourself. Okay. Unattaching emotionally. And you're right. That emotion is so strong when we attach ourselves to these events that they can't unattach. Well, once they're able to do that, then there you go. They have so much more freedom to not be emotionally controlled. Seriously, it's like a freaking leash. These people are controlled with emotion. They're just led around by it. And they don't know they're following the leash, but they are. They're following that emotional. Time to take that leash off, folks. Just cut it off. Go to fakeologist.com today.
Kay, I only got a couple minutes left. I'm so sorry. I could go on talking to you for hours. We are deeply psychologically invested in unrealities, and the number one unreality is money. It is a complete unreality.
I was going to say, right? Santa Claus. Dang it.
Santa.
He got me his money.
It's money.
Where it all starts, right? Teach kids, though, to believe in that fake-ass Santa Claus. And, it's okay to believe in fake things. I think it starts the psyche. That's the basic steps. Just start the psyche from believing in falsities. Even though subliminally you know that shit is fake, you go ahead and suspend that disbelief because you've been taught to.
Yeah.
And that money's at the end of that game there, kind of.
Yeah. I had heard this or read this or saw this many years ago. I don't know if it's true, but I assume it's true. They put a guy in an MRI and they look at his brain activity. And if you put a guy who's a cocaine addict into the MRI and you put a little cocaine in his hand, the same areas of the brain light up when you take a regular guy and stick him in that MRI and put some, a lot of money in his hand, right? And so, in other words, the idea of money, these little green pieces of paper, is akin to a drug addiction. and that's what we have. We're psychologically addicted to this unreal money system. In a world run by angels, right, a fiat currency would be fine. Just something that we all agree on is, here's a credit for your chicken, and I take the chicken home and eat it, and you have the credit, and you can come back next year, and I'll give you a basket of apples for that credit. I mean, it works just fine. Mm-hmm. But, in this demon-controlled world that we're living in, they hand us these credits, and they manipulate them. I was just listening to Dr. Richard Saunders, brilliant, multiple PhDs. He's living in Ecuador and he's dead broke, right? But he's brilliant, right? And he said something again that changed my paradigm, and it just happened just the other day. He said, why are we being taxed, right? And when someone asks you, why are you being taxed? You have this response, well, the tax money builds the roads and, we have to fund the military. And, there's millions of different reasons that we've been given our whole lives for these reasons that we're being taxed. Right. Well, Richard Saunders points out something that is kindergartenish that I have never thought before that completely changed the way I think. And that is, the guys that are taxing us are the ones that are making the money. Why don't they just make more of it? Mm-hmm. Right? If you're making the money, right, and you need $1,000, right, and you have two choices. You can either tax people or you can just make it up. You're making the money up anyway. Why wouldn't you just make it? Right? And that logic is so kindergarten, right? But I had never thought about it that way before. He's exactly right.
Well, doesn't too much money then make it less valuable, though?
Well, there's a thousand problems, with the way a currency is implemented in this world, and that would be one of them. Yes, every time they need money for their fake stupid projects, it would inflate the basket of currency that is already out there. And you're right about that. But his conclusion is, and you know, this is the conclusion that you and I would come to also, if we just think about it for a couple of minutes, is that if we're not taxed, they lose control, right? Why wouldn't you just do the rational thing and just make more money, right? Well, the thing is that by taxing us, they make us less wealthy at the time they become more wealthy. If they just print more money, then they become more wealthy. But by taxing us, they make us less wealthy at the same time that they become more wealthy. So we become more dependent upon them. And that's what it's all about. It's not about money. It's about control. And I, you know, I'm ashamed to say that for as deep as I am and been into it as deep as I have been for many years, I have never thought that thought before, and it is profound. And he is right.
Okay, so let's try and make this more succinct. If they just made more money, they could use it. The people in charge, whoever those are, then they could be more wealthier, and we would have the same money. So that way, if they just print more, they make more, and at risk of maybe increasing or decreasing its value, but they're still in charge and they have a whole lot of money. That's one way. The other way is to tax us and then they get more money.
Yeah.
So two ways to get money, but one is easier. So, but you're saying they choose the hard way, which is tax us.
Yeah. Which is to take, you know, it, and it accomplishes the goal of making us less wealthy and more dependent at the same time. I mean, you know, think about the idea of Social Security being taxed. What? You know, Social Security is tax money. Why would you tax money? You know, the people in the military being taxed, right? The money that the military gets is tax money.
Right.
Why would you tax money? It's ridiculous.
But, you know, I think there's a third option here, right? You named two. What about this third option? That taxes, they're just here to pay the middlemen. That's it. They're not – the wealthy guys, they got their own game going. They got a big game, but we're not involved in that game, maybe to a small point. I think taxes are just to oil that middleman machine. That's it. So there's a step in there that needs to be talked about, because these rich people aren't doing all this nasty work they sell. They hire all that work out, and that work needs to get paid. And I think taxes is that level right there, as well as keeping our dumbasses poor. Correct on that one.
Yeah. I come from the position that this is a created world. Right. I mean, this is my personal opinion. Right. This is a created world that we're living in. And we've been given gifts. We've been given fresh air, fresh water, and we've been given beautiful land for us to go out there and utilize and work together in cooperation and utilize it and have happy lives. Right. And what these elite dirtbags have done is they've crowned themselves, right? They've given themselves little crowns, right? And then they, you know, through their wealth, they have gathered armies of thugs, right? And we call them armies, right? And they bully around the rest of us into working for them. And it is a completely unnatural situation. I mean, it's breaking us physically, spiritually, psychologically. It's breaking the planet, right? You know, and I don't know. My only conclusion is this has got to be spiritual in some way. The answers aren't necessarily simple. It's got to be spiritual in some way. And I'm not a spiritual guy. I don't go to church. You know, I don't read New Age philosophy books. But I don't know. It's got to be spiritual in some way. But hey, I got a jet. I'm
we
already
all make
5
it.
Minutes. Yeah, I'm already 5 minutes over. I got a jet.
All right.
I got to get into the shower and make my wife some coffee and do all that morning stuff. Lady,
well,
it is. Yeah,
nice
it has
to
been
meet
so
you.
Nice. Yeah, you too. It's been so nice talking to you. I've wanted to talk to you for months. I just love your show, and I hope you continue to do it for years to come.
Well, thank you. You got a really good radio voice. You know, that really, really sultry, and you got a lot of bass in there.
Yeah, thanks, lady.
I'll have to listen to some O'Hallahan.
O'Hallahan's observations.
Oh, the big oh.
All right, lady. Have a nice day or a nice evening wherever you are on the planet. And I will look forward to listening to you sometime in the future.
Good. All right. Take care.
Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Hello. I'm Del Qua, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.